Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free delivery with the code GIGPOD at manscaped.com. Out of control.
Hello and welcome to another instalment of the Premiership Years from the Glasgow's Green Podcast, aka GigPod. This month, we're focusing on October 2020. It was a month that it was the wettest day on record in the UK. British Airways retired their Heathrow-based Boeing 747s, and the country demanded the resignation of an individual who caused so much damage after gross negligence. I'm not on about Neil Lennon here, though. I was on about Margaret Ferrier there. So I'm Stevie, and I'm joined by Pod Tim's very own Tony to discuss Celtic in October 2020, and yes, I believe we have a doctor on standby in case Tony's head explodes at some point in the next half hour or so. Tony, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's good to be back on. Why I agreed to come on here and talk about October 2020 in Celtic, I don't know, but misery loves company, so let's go for it.
It's also nice to see you wearing your ordinary clothes, I must say.
I just wanted to know if you still wanted me, Stevie, of course.
Getting right into this one, Tony, the first game we had in October was FK Sarajevo versus Celtic. We ran out 1-0 winners, and Odson Edward and Celtic were rewarded for a much improved second half performance as his winner secured our place in the Europa League group stage. That would turn out to be terrible news, and we might as well get knocked out though. But what was your memories of that game?
I remember it being quite a slog, and I remember being quite worried. But I think the worry had already built up before, obviously, August. I know you've covered August and September, but just in the build-up, the performances had been below par. There was a draw at Kilmarnock, there was a Ferencváros defeat. And I remember this was leading up to a big month in October where we qualified and then made the game against Rangers. But I can't really remember a lot. I remember the Edward goal and I remember just being relieved. But I remember being relieved really a lot of the times early on in the season. And that's when alarm bells are ringing, because usually you don't mind last-dash winners against garbage if you're in April or May. But obviously, as we go on, we'll talk about October and how the kind of luck, this has been the luck kind of started to run out, essentially.
Yeah, and just like August as well, we dominated this game. And what we did in August, we had plenty of shots, but really any in target. I mean, we had 14 shots in this game, only 4 in target. Our decision-making was still terrible, but it was Edward's goal in the 70th minutes, even, that got us into the Europa League group stages. And then after that, we would go to McDermott Park to play a St Johnstone side. And I guess, Tony, this is where you could really say the writing was on the wall, truly, for Celtic domestically. This was probably the last game where we get away with it and we rode our luck. And then after this game, that's when it stopped, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this was the game where we were hopeless. That was an awful, awful game. Griffiths comes on late, gets the winner. And then I remember Klamala scored a fantastic goal where he got halved in two, bounced back up and rattled down the top of the net. And I remember watching that game and thinking, wow, this is the stuff of champions. But I remember Danny, for Pod Tims, was saying, this isn't right, basically. These are the results you get when it's the split. You don't get this in October time. And I think I tweeted out at that point saying, look, we're sleepwalking into a disaster when we play Rangers in the 17th. And people jumped in my throat about it. Oh, they're no Barcelona, they're no this, they're no that. And it wasn't so much that I thought they were fantastic, but you could see they had improved and they had a better structure. And we were really getting quite lucky. So that was a big concern.
I remember in this game as well, actually, this was one of the matches that I didn't get to see all of. In fact, I only got to see about 60 minutes of it, and then I had to nip away for family things. But I was keeping an eye on the game, you know, through Twitter as well. And a lot of people usually exaggerate on Twitter, you know, if there's a shot that's went by the post for like 10 yards, people call it a sitter and all that. Even, like, say, Tumbo or something had a shot wide and he was marked with about three players in him. People do exaggerate wee things and all that, right? But when I did watch all this game back, it wasn't an exaggeration because the standard of football, Tony, in this game was really, really poor. This was a game where we still had our bigger players before they would go on to miss them against Rangers. I'll go into that in a minute. But, you know, Edward was absolutely misfiring in this game. Callum McGregor was like way off the pace as well. To be really fair to St Johnstone, you could tell that they'd had improved under Callum Davidson. Not quite at this point, because, I mean, they had a horror couple of months, but certainly they nullified us for 90 minutes. Our goal was really well taken. Chris Iyer, I think it was, with a cracking burst for defence in the midfield, puts it out to El Hamed, cracking ball in, and all Griffiths really needs to do is get it on target. He scores there, and as you say, Klamala takes his goal really, really well too. When you look at, you know, that midfield, the five we had, we're still playing the 3-5-2 there. You've got Frimpong on the right, Greg Taylor on the left, you've got Ncham, Tumble, and McGregor. And do you know what the one thing that we always had against St Johnstone at McDermott Park, Tony, that we were always able to pit them apart with? We always had pace in midfield, but we had none that day, and it was so evident, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I remember just kind of thinking back, I'm sure, I don't know if it did Stevie May hit the post, or somebody hit the post for them?
Yeah, oh no, it was Conway. Conway hit the post in about 60 minutes or so. Yeah.
And I was thinking, if that went in, we would have lost that game, I think. I think there would have been no two ways about that. And you wonder if that would have been when the kind of campaign to get rid of Lennon might have started. So he might have went in January instead of February if he'd have lost that game. But, no, I mean, I remember that game sticking out and just thinking, this is utterly dross. Like, this is just no acceptable. But it wasn't a surprise by that time. I think we played one kind of reasonably good game, and it was 3-0 against Hibs. I think that may have been September time, but that's when it was definitely a worry getting into the next game, which I'm sure we'll come on to.
And before that was one of the last games David Tumble actually started. He was hooked off for Ryan Christie in about 60 minutes, and then we wouldn't see him again up until the Lille game in December. It's mad, isn't it, Tony, that David Tumble was one of your shining lights all season. One pretty poor game, just like the rest of them. And then that was him exiled for the team, rather than, you know, maybe if we had him in the next game coming up, who knows how our season might have went there.
Well, that's that. I mean, his set pieces have been very good. I mean, I think Turnbull has been the only positive of this season. Obviously, Sorrow played some, but then Kennedy bombed him out. But you need to remember the fact that Sorrow and Turnbull played against Lille was, I was going to say luck, but bad luck, because it was done by then. We were out of the group, so I think that was just purely down to rotation. But to think he didn't get a chance for over 2 months and then became such a kind of, I don't want to say influential, because obviously we haven't won anything, but he became a good addition to the team, for sure.
The next game, Tony, now this is, it was you, Danny, Andy and Darren at the pod teams. The four of yous did one of the most definitive shoots I've ever heard in a podcast, when it was just like an hour and a half of complete sense. When Rangers beat us 2-0 at Celtic Park, there was no excuses, there wasn't any but wait to the next time, and but Rangers have got it in, let me bottle it. There was none of that. I think all four of yous were quite unanimous that this was the day the league was well and truly lost.
I think it was the day we realised that the league would be lost if we don't sack Lennon, because as much as we were missing Edward, we still had quality there. and we still had the players to go and win. But the performance itself, again, shocking. 7 minutes in, we concede a set piece, which will probably be a theme through every one of these episodes you do, because all we've done is concede set pieces. Goldson, obviously, he scores the second. It's a set piece as well. We don't get a shot on target. The only chance we get was really the Elianusi one. He just kind of lobbed right over McGregor and out of play. But that was it when I thought, your luck's ran out. You've been threatening to put in these terrible performances. They've not transpired into awful results. And then there was obviously Fenerbahce. The players were thrown under the bus. But at that point, I definitely thought if we'd have sacked him and brought Eddie Howe in, which I think I said at the time. Obviously, Eddie Howe's not for it.
That's Eddie Howe, are we?
Oh, for fuck's sake. But that was it. I was thinking if we bring him in now, we've got a chance. Because I still at that point believed we had a good team and we had good players and we had players capable of winning leagues and titles and trophies and whatever else. And they'd proven it for 9 years. And obviously, they'd won the three trebles prior, and then we're going to win the fourth in a row. So I was thinking, if we can get a proper manager, and that's always the way I've spoke about it and I speak about Lennon, I just don't see Neil Lennon as a proper football manager. Obviously, he would be very against that, as he was earlier in the week coming out in the papers. But for me, that would be when I would have said, right, out, beat it.
I think this was the match, though, wasn't it, that we learned that Rangers worked out how to get the better of us? You know, once again, they just shut us down in midfield. They took total control right in the middle of the park, right for the start, like they did in the 2-1 game at the end of 2019. And they won that game, they won again here, and it was their first back-to-back wins at Celtic Park in, what, 10 years or something. It was a complete performance with them. It was an utter shambles from us. But not only that, it was a real statement from them. They went 4 points clear at the top that day. You know, they just went from strength to strength. It was the game, Tony, where we just went downhill after it, and we'll talk about the rest of the one for a wee minute. But also, focusing on Shane Duffy. Now, in September, myself and Hamish were saying it was a nightmare in the waiting for Shane Duffy, this type of performance. Against Hibs, when we won 3-0, he got away with it because, you know, Kevin Nisbet was misfiring and they just didn't get the luck. This game against Rangers, this was when really you saw Shane Duffy have an utter howler, and he never, ever recovered from it, didn't he not?
No, I think that was the beginning of the end for Duffy. Because he was bigged up to be this no-nonsense player, and he was fucking full of nonsense every week. I felt as well. I felt some fans were giving him a lot of leeway because he was Irish, he was a Celtic fan, but we just didn't. You couldn't do it. I mean, you couldn't justify the performances. They were hopeless. But then again, that comes down to the manager, continues to play him, but he just went for howler, a howler. And it was just a complete nightmare for him. And that was obviously the famous picture of Goldson and him. So
then we only go and face AC Milan a few days after it. AC Milan, who at the time were top of the Serie A, unbeaten, and having a great, great season. And Celtic, instead of going and making it difficult for them and trying to shut up shop and frustrate them, we went and gifted them 2 first half goals, which pretty much sealed the game for them.
Aye, that was it. That game was, I had no confidence we were ever going to beat AC Milan the way things were going, and they were quite comfortable. I think we had spells, as we did throughout many games this season, 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there. I think Elianusi scored a header to get it back to 2-1, but, and then, is that when, did Julian injure Barkas, or Barkas injured Julian or something? Or?
Duffy, I believe, slid in and injured Barkas, yes. Of course, we never get a definitive answer about that, though. The club never came out and said anything about the Barkas injury, because we'll go into the Aberdeen game on a Sunday in a minute, in the goalkeeper situation. But yeah, that was just, again, pure communication, because it was speculation, but we never actually get told what was wrong with Barkas after this game. Mad.
Well, the communication's been a major issue, and still is, definitely.
On the pitch, off the pitch as well?
I don't know why I bothered with this. You're fucking depressing me.
But with this game as well, you know, Neil Lennon said that he wanted an improvement after the Rangers game, and he felt that this game against AC Milan was a big improvement. He said he was pleased with the performance. He said we could have shied away from all the criticism, but we've taken it and we went out there and showed personality in the second half. I mean, I don't care if that is personality, getting beat 3-1 at home in the Europa League group stage game. I'd hate to say what Nae personality was.
What was that? Neil was saying that we were obsessed with 10 in a row and it was unhealthy. So Neil obviously doesn't care for standards or winning games. So I mean, that probably was a good result for him. He probably did see that as an improvement. But for fans of Celtic who are used to playing these teams like AC Milan in European ties and giving them a good game and being competitive, then you expected a bit better on the night. Don't get me wrong, you don't have any issue losing to these teams, but to boot the game for half time, I thought was quite embarrassing, and they just looked poor.
Yeah, that was one of the games as well where you saw Callum McGregor's defensive side was really showing up, wasn't it? Especially in the utter mess of the first two goals, I believe. I think the second goal especially, but Duffy was just as culpable as well. Lee Griffiths started this game, Tony, and after 20 minutes, he only lasted one half, by the way. Ryan Christie came on and replaced him up front, of course. But Lee Griffiths, and you could have given him all the time in the world to get fit, after 20 minutes or so, he was done. And personally, I remember saying after this game, I said Gigpod hadn't actually been started up yet. Said on my personal account, I would rip up his contract because it was utterly, utterly disgraceful. It was an utter embarrassment to see the nick of him. But yet, Lee Griffiths was allowed way more time in a Celtic jersey. In fact, he was allowed the rest of the season, of course. So right away, just the standards there were completely slipping for what we've seen before with Celtic.
Well, the standards started slipping the second Rodgers walked out the door. Everybody knows that. And since then, you've just seen it get worse and worse and worse. And you can now see why Rodgers walked out. When Griffiths came back and he wasn't fit, that should have been it right there and then. Sell him in the summer. Just say, look, this isn't acceptable. We are gone for a very important season. This isn't the example we want to set to our younger players. This isn't what we want to give to our fans. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Your fans are ploughing money in for merchandise and season tickets. You've come back unfit, not acceptable, out the door. We'll help find you a new club. That should have been it there and then. You shouldn't be playing against AC Milan. There's just but there was a lot of instances when even if we look at the manager. The manager was so far out his depth and so below par, but the people in power at the club thought it was acceptable to keep him for the length of time they did. And what did the result in? A trophyless season, and we finished 25 points behind Rangers. I mean, that's quite astonishing when 4 years ago we won an invincible treble, and I think we finished about 35 points ahead of them.
I mean, the only positives you can really take from the Rangers and the Milan games, and I'm using that, you know, with the Neil Lennon inverted commas here on the quote marks, is really the introduction of Stephen Welsh, who, against Rangers, he never really looked that out of place. And against AC Milan as well, he wasn't toiling as bad as the more experienced Shane Duffy, I guess. But that's a bad day when that's the only positives you take from two big games for us.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's hard to take a positive when you've conceded five and scored one and lost both games. I'm sure it's good for Wales from a personal point of view, but again, is he the future of Celtic? I don't know so much.
Do you know it was in this month that Andy Burnham found out on his phone during a presser that Manchester were getting put into tier 3 lockdown restrictions?
I can remember that clip, Burnham, and I think, is that a journalist shows him the clip on the phone or something, or tells him?
Is it no part of his staff or someone? But certainly somebody showed him and said what the deal was. I mean, when you look at the communication there with the UK government and you look at the communication for Celtic all season, it's pretty similar.
Both Tories, aren't they?
We then went to Pittodrie. Now, this was a game that we really had to win, Tony. At this point, Rangers were 7 points clear, I believe. They had won the day before. We had to go to Pittodrie, which, under Brendan Rodgers and even under Neil Lennon the season before, we always seemed to go to Pittodrie and it was an automatic 3-pointer for us. Not this season, though. Not under Neil Lennon's 2020-2021 Celtic team. What do you remember about that? What sticks out in your memory about that game?
I remember getting into it thinking, I will win this Aberdeen away, because I think we'd won every game away at Aberdeen since Rodgers had come in. And I remember thinking, nah, there's no way we lose this. And then I think Cham gives away the penalty and we're losing at half time. And I think Twitter was just going bananas. At this point, I think we were just any opportunity we got, we were just saying Lennon out. And it was just relentless. And I remember at half-time thinking, this just can't go on. We can't keep this guy in charge. It was another pathetic performance. I thought, this is really worrying. You could see the league slipping away, and still there was people defending him, and it was just infuriating. And then the second half started, Let me think. They obviously finished 3-3, so it was 1-0 at half time. Then did McGregor equalise?
McGregor equalises on 52 minutes. And Shane Duffy does Shane Duffy things, and Hedges made it 2-1. Do you remember the goal we gave away?
I can remember the penalty we gave away. No, was it a penalty?
We gave away 2 penalties, Cham. But then Callum McGregor, defensive masterclass again, just sliding in.
That was it. I can remember the third goal that they scored in the penalty giveaway. What was the second one? Let me think.
It was a cross in, but it was before that, Shane Duffy, with a big punt. Aberdeen just punt the ball right down the line. Shane Duffy, all he needs to do is either knock it back to Scott Bain. Well, right away, that's a bit of a dodgy choice. Or put it out for a throw. Shane Duffy, for some reason, tries to lob it over his head. And I think he hits his chest. They cross it in, and I think that Ryan Hedges nips in to make it 2-1. It was a farcical goal. And Shane Duffy, who, it was just a nightmare week for him. Terrible against Rangers. Even worse against AC Milan, and in this game, it was a shocker from him. It truly was, and that made it 2-1 to Aberdeen. But in fairness, Tony, around the 70-minute mark, Lee Griffiths came on alongside Scott Brown, and we actually improved. In fact, we improved immediately, because 5 minutes later, Griffiths made it 2-2, took his goal really, really well. Then we get a penalty, 78 minutes, Ryan Christie scores. Now you're thinking, away to Aberdeen, 3-2, they're going to be done, they're demoralised. This will be what we need. It's the big win for us to maybe kickstart our season. But Celtic have other ideas, Tony, because 2 minutes into injury time, if you remember, Scott Wright gets the ball in midfield. Scott Wright runs past 4 Celtic players, plays it out to his right. I think Sam Cosgrove, who maybe cuts inside, hits it off the bar, but Callum McGregor, doing stupidly again, the defensive side of his game, like we saw all season against Sparta Prague, against AC Milan, like you even saw against Rangers, diving in two-footed, gives away the penalty, and Lewis Ferguson puts it past Scott Bain. That's Aberdeen 3, Celtic 3. We go 6 points behind Rangers. We do have a game in hand, but it's already, you're feeling that the momentum in that game was really slipping away from us, wasn't it?
Well, again, another terrible result. I mean, to concede 3 against Aberdeen is horrendous at any time, at any stage. But even, I mean, during that season, I think Aberdeen had a big goal drought as well at one stage later on. I remember the third goal they scored, and you're thinking, where's the game management? Where is the idea just to go, look, see if somebody's running at you in the halfway line? Knock them up there. Don't let them go. Be a bit smarter. And then it was just, obviously we didn't do so, and we get punished for it. And I just remember thinking, that's got to be it. See the amount of times we said that this season, that's got to be it. Lennon's got to be away. But obviously he hung on and hung on and hung on. But that was another dreadful result. Because that's the thing, whenever we drop points at Easter Road, people would automatically turn around to defend Lennon and say, oh, but we didn't beat them under Rodgers. But when Rodgers beats Aberdeen 7 times in a row and then Lennon fails to do so, nobody turns around and goes, well, how's he not doing this? This is unacceptable. It's just, I thought by this time people were kind of jumping through hoops to defend them.
It was the manner of the draw, wasn't it? It's not just the dropping the points, but it was just being in that position, 3-2 away, not being able to see the game out. But it wouldn't be the first that Celtic couldn't see out as well, Tony. And we'll go on to the next one in a wee second. But another bit of trivia is, in October, the unemployment rate reached 4.5%, as redundancies were reported to be at the highest level since 2009. Amazingly enough, though, Tony, key personnel who shouldn't have been in their jobs remained employed at Celtic.
A lot of them still are in their jobs at Celtic, unfortunately.
But another game we couldn't see out, Tony, and you're willing to, maybe on paper this looks like a good result, doesn't it? Lille 2, Celtic 2. They would go on to be the French champions. Celtic were 2-0 up after half an hour with 2 brilliant goals from Mohamed El Younoussi. But Tony, let's break it down. This wasn't a good result. And again, it was a poor performance. Second half performance was utterly, utterly murder. Like me, were you just dreading it when it went to 2-1 because you knew it was coming, didn't you?
Even at 2-0, you weren't that confident. Obviously, Elianus scored the first goal. It was a screamer, and the keeper just stood still. And know that way, when he scored these kind of goals, you go, oh, we're actually winning. What a lovely surprise. And then he get his second one. I think, was it Frimpong might have set him up for the second? But I can remember, certainly I remember really clearly about this game. is it 2-0, they made a sub and we made a sub at the same time, but we were so, it was so late making the subs. He said I freshened it up long before, and I remember Danny saying, why did he not wait a minute after their sub to make your subs and break the game up even more, frustrate them, slow it down, just a really small part of kind of game management. And I remember at that time that result kind of divided opinions. There was a kind of a lot of people saying, well, showed a lot of fight, it's a good result away to Lille, which on paper it is, but you're 2-0 up, you're just need to see the game out. Game management, we had a lot of chances to win that game actually, and actually go and score 3 and 4, but again defensively it was just shambolic. I mean, it was kind of, I don't really know what happened this season in terms of defending for set pieces, but it was just utterly pitiful. And again, you're winning in a game, 3 points would have been brilliant. It would have been really helpful for any progression. And I think, again, you need to blame the manager. If you're not seeing these games out, if you're not making the right tactical changes, then you get punished by these good teams, and Lille obviously are an excellent side.
The substitution that you referenced, Tony, we made the change on 64 minutes where Albin Ayeti came off, and that was one of Ayeti's better games. Really, really good hold-up play, and they brought others into the game that match. Edward came on for him. Now, at the same time, I think Jonathan David, who was having a stinker, came off for Lille, and Burak Yilmaz came on in the 64th minute. And it was indeed a few minutes after that. That's when he equalised through. That was another one, Tony, as well. The goal we conceded, it was just like the one we see. We saw about maybe 10, 11 times against us this season, haven't we? The cross coming in for a set piece, flick on, the boy at the back post putting it away. And it was just going to be a recurring theme with the type of goals we conceded all season. And that was just one of them again.
Aye, I can remember the one at the back post. What was the equaliser?
Equaliser was Ikoni, who it was like, again, it was a cross. I think we partially cleared it, and he hits it. I think it might have taken a deflection. There wasn't a lot Bain could have done with it, but the goal was coming for us. But do you know the big thing I took away from it? I remember watching this at the time, Tony, and running about. It's like I said, I feel like a broken record, and I don't mean to go on like Bill Murray on Groundhog Day every time I do this, referencing the fitness. But, you know, Lille in the entire second half were fitter than us. They were more sharper. They were more reactive, and their game management all around was just better. They were choking to get something out of that game, and we were just hanging on for like the 50th minute onwards. We looked done in, and I was just saying, you know, 2-0 up, I'm not saying we should be going for a third, but we should be able to see the game out, be smarter with it. It's not as if we're a wee amateur team, though we have acted worse than amateur this season, you know. It was just the manner in which we capitulated after Lille scored that goal, and from what I remember, we were very lucky not to concede a third, but that was it. I mean, on paper, it is a good point, but the performance was alarming. And also, Tony, this was a game that it was our longest run without a win since 2014. Thank you, Neil Lennon. Another record broken.
Well, that was it. I mean, he did break a lot of records. I know you were saying earlier on, just to touch back in the Rangers game, it was the first win. I think you said it was the first win, back-to-back wins at Celtic Park for 10 years. I think it was the 90s was the last back-to-back wins, because Lennon was, they hadn't beat us at Parkhead in 10 years. So he broke that record in 2019, and then the back-to-back he broke in 2020. So an absolute hero is our Neil. He breaks some amount of records.
I remember that, actually, the one against Rangers. I believe it was, they won the League Cup, didn't they? McCoy scored a header, and then they won 2-0. Gascoigne and Alec Clelland scored as well. So that was, you're right enough. Neil Lennon, thank you. What a guy. If you get any words of support for that gentleman right now, Tony, if you get anything to say, if he's listening.
No, you'll need to edit it out. There's no point in me even saying it.
I wanted to keep this one as short as possible, really, but let me just get your thoughts, Tony, on October 2020 for Celtic. It's all right to say now, in hindsight, right, that, yeah, you and the guys at Pod Tins were actually spot on. It was your rant that made me, you know, I was listening going, I feel like bringing Gig Pod back, because I was as pissed off as you guys were watching this, being subjected to it. And not only that, being made out as if this was acceptable and oh, these things happen. It was far from it. We didn't even react to it, and we reacted far too late, but that's what Celtic do. But if I can just cast your mind back, Tony, to that Rangers game, the 2-0 defeat, right? And I know you guys ranted about it, but if you were to see, if you know, what the results after that against Milan, Aberdeen and Lille, would you have foreseen it as being that bad after that Rangers game, or would you have thought we will get our act together?
No, I didn't think it would have been as bad as it was. I thought we would have beaten Aberdeen for a start, and then what happened after that, where he was allowed to go 2 wins in 12, it was just unbelievable. I mean, that was really, it was horrendous. I mean, nobody at Celtic should never go 2 wins at 12. I don't care what excuses anybody wants to bring up. It should never happen. It's not acceptable. He should have been sacked on October 17th after he lost to Rangers. He could have been sacked well before that when we played Fenerbahce. He could have been, he should never have got the job. Blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all before. I think if we'd have sacked him after the Rangers game and brought in a proper manager, it didn't need to be Eddie Howe. I'm sure there was a lot of managers at that time. If you'd offered them the proper money and says, we'll give you the proper backing in the next window, or we've got these players here you can deal with, we might have had a, don't get me wrong, Rangers obviously had a very good season in the end, but if we could have somehow upset their rhythm and put any sort of pressure on them, it might have been different. But I think if we'd have sacked him then, we'd definitely been in a title race as opposed to being the league done in March. So, but we didn't, and we got exactly what we deserved for it.
You thought October was bad. November. Oh, what a horror that was. In fact, you'll be delighted that you don't have to cover November. That's going to be someone else who I will inform the audience of at the very end of this. But Tony, your shift is over. You're okay. And let me just ask you, how's your blood pressure?
I don't know, I need to take it after this. I don't think I'll be doing any podcasts about Neil Lennon in October again. See, the thing is, I mean, I need to applaud Neil Lennon. He is superb at getting our eyes out of people. People think he's a bit stupid or daft. He's far from it. He's very intelligent, because you've seen him in the paper during the week, and it just all came flooding back to me when he started having a go at the fans, and I thought, oh, for fuck's sake. But, so he's obviously wanting to get back into management, so... But no, I mean, the way things are going as well, you might be doing a series like this next year. You maybe need to get me back on to talk about Big Angie's downfall, the way things are going. Talk about cup defeats, but I'm sure somebody will be able to tell us that it's actually okay and all part of a grand plan.
Aye, it'll be okay to get beat off like Celtic Hearts or something. Yeah, of course, it happens all the time and it's very acceptable. That's just going to be the that is going to end up being the mindset. Reading some of the responses today, that is going to be the mindset next season, isn't it? It's acceptable, apparently.
Well, for me, it won't be. I'll be back at Parkhead throwing shots, so it'll not be happening.
Tony, thanks so much for coming on. And to the audience who listen to this podcast, where can they find more of what you do?
You can just search 4 Tims in a Podcast. I think we're on iTunes, Spotify, and I can't mind it. I don't do any of that, but I think it's Darren that uploads it also. iTunes and Spotify is the best place to find us. It's not really much positivity. It's just mostly negative. But hopefully there's a miracle for next season.
So our next Premiership Year's review, we'll look back at November 2020 with YouTuber Ryan Fitzsimons, a month which is synonymous with many households cowering in fear on the 5th. Which is exactly what many Celtic fans did on Bonfire Night when Sparta Prague's COVID-ravaged team performed cartwheels after the win at Celtic Park.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.